And we're back with another Fallscast coming to you on Monday, December 13th, or rather, coming from Monday, December 13th. It is cold, it is Monday night,
and it's dark, and we're cranky, and it's late.
But it was a gorgeous day. It was sunny, and it was like 51 degrees.
Yeah, man, I'll take 50 degrees in December.
Especially after the weekend.
Yeah.
Yes.
Take it without the tornadoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, not about to be those a little thunderstorms.
Did you hear how long that tornado actually was on the ground for?
No.
The time or the distance?
The distance.
220 miles?
Yeah. Continue. 220 like, I have
miles
never
of
seen
F5 or whatever, F4.
Wow.
Nuts.
Just it crazy.
Is, yeah, they're saying that it's going to be happening a lot more because of global warming.
Hoax.
Yeah, climate change.
They can build structures that withstand things like that. It's just it's going to cost money.
We don't spend money.
You know, that's the whole build back better, right? We need that $3.5 trillion so we can, like, protect the nation from F5 tornadoes. Yeah.
In-ground hobbit hole.
Yeah. Stones. Make it out of rocks.
Make a wild stoned? Oh, sorry.
Maybe. Forget
sorry,
our woes.
We're here with a lot of our favorite Fallscasters today, including he who just spoke, Mike Searle.
Hello, everybody. I still hate you, Alex.
Speaking of, we have Alex Hall.
Heyo.
We have Jennifer Mulay.
Howdy doodly doo.
And we have the lovely Suzanne Searle.
Hello.
On today's Fallscast, we will have two of the three hosts of the AKA Murder podcast, Amy Walker and Katie Bayer.
Ooh, murder.
I have the third one for they murdered.
Amy Phillips, who's been on the show, as well as Katie Bayer before, was busy tonight and was unable to attend the interview, but she gave her graces to the other two to come on the show.
They took a stab at it.
No.
Sorry. You can so, splash that if you need to.
She was all tied up. She couldn't make it.
Sorry, Bart.
So that interview will be coming up after the roundtable. And just so listeners know, yes, I do work with Amy and formerly worked with Katie, as we will constantly say that in the interview without actually saying it.
Fair.
The unspoken spoken.
Also, we would love to hear submissions of your own work, and that, I just realized, does not make any sense.
Whoops.
Also, as rewind always, it. We love to see submissions of your own work. See submissions of your own work. If you'd like to collaborate with us, or want to see us interview someone specific, or just anything like that, you can drop us a line at, Suzanne, what was that email address again?
FallsFreePress@gmail.com.
Absolutely. Or you can get a hold of us on our Facebook page. Also, keep sending your feedback. Tell us what you think of the show. You can email us at
FallsFreePress@gmail.com.
Or you can review us on whatever podcast catcher you use to listen.
5 stars only.
Absolutely. We also continue to encourage our readers and listeners to shop local, keeping your money local. Have you guys patronized any really cool local businesses this week?
We did some shopping on Saturday, and we went out to eat.
Yes.
So we were going to go do that Stan Hewitt Hall Deck the Lights on Saturday, and we drove over there, and they had no electricity in the hall. So we had to reschedule it, so we decided to go downtown, and we went to eat at Burntwood Tavern, yes. Yeah.
I love that place.
It's a great place. We got way too much food and maybe a little too much drink, but
no.
It was good. Wrong then answer. We decided to go shopping after we had some drinks and went
Southern
to
Tier 2X Christmas Ale. Oh, so good.
I had a little bit of it. It was actually really good.
I love that Burntwood actually has their own beer that like is that they brew.
Mm.
Do they brew it?
I had that one yet.
Do they?
Well, I think either Steven or Jen might have told me that somebody brews it for them, but it's like they're like proprietary, like you can only get it
or whatever.
But yeah, and there's an IPA, and I think there's one that's like a little lighter for Philistines.
The
Those with taste. They like all genre of beer, not just one.
Hater.
Well, all I had was a strawberry lemonade.
Uh-huh.
So was that all?
A little bit of vodka. Yep. With a little bit of vodka. Just a little. The adult just strawberry lemonade.
No Jack and Jill hair cubes.
No.
Go down pretty easy.
There.
I'm not going to say it.
It's too late to be too spicy. We're out of gas. We're out of gas, so.
Oh, I got plenty of gas.
Oh, man.
Oh, well, that geez. Was dinner.
We had we ordered Singbiryani. That was the only local stuff that we did, if you want to talk
I
about
love Singbiryani. I think so we good. Need to, like, interview them, get them on the show.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
do a feature. Because you know what? Like, Cuyahoga Falls has an Indian restaurant, and that is awesome. I mean, it really is. I mean, and they're not even the only one. I mean, there's the place on State Road, too. But it's
Everest, changed. Right?
It's changed hands so many times, it's hard to even tell what it is even anymore.
It was Everest, and it was, I forget what it used
is that
to be.
Indian
it used
or
to be Raj Mahal.
Brand new.
Raj Mahal. Yeah, it was Raj Mahal.
It was Raj Mahal when I first started coming around, and then became Everest, and it just stays Everest, but every so often there's, like, a new sign up there that says, like, under new management or, you know, lunch buffet or something. I think they're struggling.
I heard they had a really good buffet, but we haven't gotten
to it. We tried out the, what was that street taco place we tried out on
you guys R&B? Yeah, the R&B? Oh, good. That's a
well, where is it exactly? Food. It's like North State Road?
Yeah, it's just out by, what was that, Allside out there? Kind of like by Gojo. It's Valencia Plaza. Blink and you'll miss it. It's by the Ford dealership up there.
But on State Road?
It's on State Road, yeah.
Okay.
It's like... Well,
the Ford dealership that has a super crazy round business building that's almost like the cake building, but not.
That's all.
Yeah, that's all side or the. Oh. I don't know if that's still all
it's
side.
All side.
Not,
it's not all side anymore. It's.
Yeah, that was the former all side building, but yeah, it's so right around there.
It's there.
Yeah,
okay.
It's up around there. Yeah, but yeah, their food is pretty damn good. Everything's made fresh, made to order. You know, it's not like they have everything just chilling in the back waiting, but.
Yeah,
it is.
We should have a food. We should have a food episode where we do Singbiryani and like papaya salad. And we could throw in Everest too.
Apparently, Everest is Rose Garden Indian cuisine now.
Oh no.
Okay then.
Rose Garden Indian cuisine. Okay.
Oh, man,
I will say when they were Raj Mahal, it was really good. They had really good Indian food. But yeah, we went after it was Everest, and they had like more Nepali stuff, which. I didn't try. I honestly don't really know a lot about Nepali cuisine. And we had Indian food when we were there that time, too, and it was okay. But, I mean, that was so long ago. It's probably changed hands, like, twice since then, you know. And now it's apparently not even Everest anymore, so.
We have a lot of restaurants with different type of cuisines around Cuyahoga Falls. I mean, we really are lucky with how much food choices we have. And a lot of local, you know, small businesses, too, so.
I think... Singbiryani was such a score because, like, when they first, before they even opened, I remember, like, I was looking for a job or something at the time, and I remember seeing that they were hiring a chef, and they, like, you know, it was, like, taking resumes. Like, they weren't, like, just hiring, like, a line cook. Like, they wanted somebody who was going to come in and make, like, real Indian cuisine. I really appreciate that. When you go in there, it's, like, you can tell that the kitchen is professional, you know. If you're picking up food in there, you can kind of look through, so... I really like Singbiryani, and you're right. It's indicative of that sense that we have a lot of the diversity of, like, you know, cuisines in the city now, which is just such a great thing.
You know, I don't know if any of you have tried. Any of you had Angie's Pizza? Since we're kind of,
Or
I'm sorry, not Angie's. I'm sorry, Athena. Athena.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That guy's,
oh,
Deadhead
so
owns that place. Deadhead biker dude owns that place.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, good stuff. Walking in, there's Jerry Garcia everywhere and Harley Davidson stuff everywhere.
Well, there's new owners. I don't know. I mean,
oh, really?
I don't know how new.
I didn't notice any of that stuff.
Oh,
where's Athena's at?
Corner of Steeles and State.
Oh, okay.
It is so good. It kind of reminded me of almost like the crust was almost like a Fiesta Pizza, but it's a little less greasy. You know how you have the Fiesta Pizza? It's has that it's
delicious.
Not thin. It's medium.
Delicious.
It is delicious, but
please.
It is a little greasy, but it was very good.
Did you guys eat dinner yet or what?
Well, this is what we were doing.
Yeah, we did.
Okay, we have a story to tell you. And
oh, boy.
You can cut this out. But yesterday, I had my first migraine that I've had in like since May. But Mike ran out to the store. He needed to get some like milk and things like that. We were talking about getting pizza. And I was talking about, somebody posted about Athena's on it. And I'm like, oh, maybe we should try it. And he's like, oh, maybe or whatever. But while he was gone, I decided I was going to order Marco's pizza. So I ordered Marco's pizza. He walked in and he had the box of Athena's pizza. So we have two types of pizza there. So we have a lot of pizza in the refrigerator.
And a euro. The euro was pretty damn good.
Oh, yeah. You did eat. That was actually really good.
That was really good.
So. You pronounced it right, too.
Yes, I did. I'm sorry. Gyro.
It's a gyro.
It's a euro.
So my daughter has been playing soccer in the Cuyahoga Falls Soccer Club, which is sort of a local business. They do such a great job, too. There's a once-a-week practice. I almost said rehearsal. At the church right there at the corner of Northampton and Bath. So every week she goes up there for an hour and practices. Tonight happened to be the practice, so I got smoothies from Tropical Smoothie Cafe, which has kind of been the go-to for smoothies anytime there's something going on at night and it's going to be dicey to get dinner before bed with the kids, you know. If you haven't been to Tropical Smoothie Cafe, it's great. I will say they make smoothies, like, I don't usually put sugar in a smoothie, so they'll, like, actually, like, put fruit in it and then water and ice and add sugar. But you can get it with Splenda or you can get it without the sugar. And that's if you order it online, too, so they're really, like, customizable. But Tropical Smoothie is, like, that teeny-tiny little place between BurgerFi and Poke Fresh. Right there in Steele's Crossing, Steele's whatever, is that what we call it? Steele's, no.
Portage Crossing.
It's not quite Cuyahoga Falls. I mean, it's right on the line there. We went to Regal Independence to see the new movie Encanto, the new Disney Pixar movie. Lin-Manuel Miranda had a hand in it. It's about a little girl who lives in like an enchanted house with her family who all have powers, like magical powers. But like when it came time for her to receive hers, she didn't get it. And she has to kind of figure out why. It was cool. Bart and I actually saw, what do we see there?
Tenet,
that's right. And, like, we were the only two in the theater. And it was the same deal. I mean, we had one other group of people. It was me and my two daughters and one other group of people watching this movie. And, I mean, I just, and Bart, we saw Tenet during the pandemic, right?
Yeah.
But even before the pandemic, that place was never busy. I just do not know how they keep the doors open. But, you know, it's all, like, good service and everything. Popcorn's good. Like, they have everything you're expecting. So, you know, Regal Independence, right by Old Chapel Hill there. I just went to Rockne's. My daughter insists on Rockne's anytime I say, where do you guys want to go eat? And she always says Rockne's. I mean, okay. It's all right. It's Rockne's, you know?
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
My son's first job. We have fond memories.
It's fine. Not my favorite place, but my daughter loves it. And it is good for kids. Like, the kids' meals are super cheap. They even get, like, a little cookie at the end. It's, like, a whole thing for kids. I think that's part of why she likes it. But also, we went to Pav's. One of my daughters and I. So, Lainey is taking piano lessons now at Falls Music School, which is right next door to Pav's. So, while she was in...
Pav's or Pav's?
Pav's. I don't know.
Pav's. Sounds so pretentious, Alex.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Bad. Welcome you go to Target too.
Pav's. I got the nasally A. Wait,
Suzanne got on my case for saying Colombiano one time. Yeah. Can't help but pronounce A's a certain way.
And it's Mogador, not Mogador.
Mogador.
It's a natty thing or something. I don't know what's
Is
going
it
on.
Gent or Ghent?
Don't even go on Manaway.
Mantua?
I have no idea.
Mantua?
What's Mantua?
Manaway.
But also right next to Falls Music School, in fact, attached to Falls Music School, you can go through a door in Falls Music School, down some steps, and you're in Grandpa's Candy Shop, which when you have one daughter in a lesson and another daughter, you're trying to get out of the music lessons place, is dangerous because you can't walk through that whole shop. And I think they know that. So I've been there a couple times trying to not
gift
get.
Shop at Akron Zoo.
Keep yeah, exactly. Going exactly.
Exit through the gift shop.
Yeah. And I'm almost done. We went to the basement. I took Josh out to the basement one night. If you haven't been to the basement, it is as grimy a sports bar as you expect.
Oh.
But they have some good food and they do a couple of novel things. Like, for instance, you can get chicken wings as you would expect, but they will do breaded shrimp just like they do the wings. So they'll like fry your breaded shrimp and then they'll toss it in like your choice of sauce. So that's kind of cool. And their pizza is actually really good. It's that I think of like Tim's, you know, it's a bit more like a home style kind of crust, a little bit thicker, not greasy. And the sauce is a bit more savory than sweet. So if you prefer that, then the basement's a good one, as is Tim's pizza. And Pilatas. I went to Pilatas. Have you guys been to Pilatas Bakery?
Been by it. Never actually went in there.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been there.
It's, you know, obviously connected to the former councilman, Pilata. I don't know if he owns it or if it's like his brother owns it or what the deal is, but part of their family. It's a good bakery. They got a lot of good, like those little Italian cookies and stuff. And then they have cupcakes. And their cupcakes have like this much buttercream on them.
Yep.
And they're filled.
Delicious.
So when you cut it open, there's like buttercream inside and on top. The only gripe I have with them is that they keep the cupcakes cold. So when you first get it, the buttercream is like seized. And you have to like let it come back to
room temperature.
Yeah.
Bittersweets out in Stowe, when Bittersweets was still open out in Stowe, that was the same way.
Oh, yeah.
Great cupcakes, though. But, yeah, they even tell you, let them come to room temp.
Yeah. Well, they have tables there where you can eat. So the first time we went in there to do sat down and we started, and I'm like, oh, man, this is like, it's like a stick of butter on top of this cupcake.
you eat that stick of butter.
I did. Oh, I did. But it was really good. They have a lot of stuff. It's a pretty big place, too, so they have a big selection. And then I just like a tour of bakeries in Cuyahoga Falls. I went to Vincent's. And the reason I wanted to mention Vincent's in particular is because, first of all, I wanted to try that cake, the like Italian cake that is like one of their specialties. And I had an event that I was, you know, that was appropriate for me to buy a cake. So I took the opportunity, and it was fantastic. It has custard in it. So, like, it's like a regular layer cake, but, like, instead of having icing in between, it's like – there's vanilla and chocolate custard. I think it's called cassata cake.
Is it cassata cake? Usually has like strawberry. Well, that's a Cleveland thing where it has strawberries. But yeah, cassata cakes are delicious.
Maybe I'm not sure.
No,
exactly.
It's an Italian thing. It has strawberries. That was our wedding cake. Was a cassata, like cream and strawberries. Yeah.
Well, this didn't have strawberries, but it had like the vanilla and the chocolate, like
custard
icing. It was custard.
So good.
It reminded me a lot of pastel tres leche, if you ever had that at like a Mexican place. It's like a cake that's like soaked in milk and has that whipped cream kind of icing. But this wasn't like soaked in milk. It just had that a little bit of hint of that just because of the custard. But one of the reasons I want to mention is because while I was in there, I mentioned that a long time ago, the Falls Free Press had done a feature of Vincent's, and it had been one of the most, you know, clicked on articles we had ever written. Ever. And he remembered, and he was really happy, and he said he doesn't know how much longer they're going to be open, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because he's getting older, he's going to be retiring, and I guess nobody in the family wants to continue the business. So unfortunately, the days of Vincent's could be numbered. He didn't give me a time frame or anything like that, but if you love Vincent's, you best get over there and get your fix, because we don't know how much longer they're going to be there. I am a partial to also the sfogliatelle, which is like, they call them lobster tails. So good. And I have a funny story about that, but I'll save it because I've already been talking too much. The last one I was going to mention is just Looking Glass. I know that we've talked about Looking Glass a lot. I think we all love Looking Glass. Man,
awesome place.
I was just in there. I've been kind of in the market for some art for my house, and I'm walking around and I'm just like, I'm going to spend way too much money in this place.
Oh, yeah.
It's just
that's easy
chock
to do.
Full.
So much stuff. Yeah. And it's different every time you go
it's
in.
It's diverse. It's such a diverse collection.
Totally. And there was a really cool piece by one Tom Sullivan.
Rock-a-baby?
Yeah. He was showing me how, like, the noisemaker actually works. And, like, the light, it, like, is just powered by one little battery. And he said he had it for, like, 3 weeks, you know, going. And it. So it's a bargain as far as your battery dollar.
Yeah, we were walking by on Saturday, and we saw it in the window, and we're like, oh, my gosh, there's Rocket Baby.
Yeah, and actually the staff there, you guys interviewed him. It was the gentleman that was part of the interview when you guys were there. Yeah, and he was awesome. He sort of walked me around. I told him kind of what I was looking for, and I found a guy in Cuyahoga Falls, actually, who does, like, pour art, Eric Bramer or something like that. And I just love that, like, drippy sort of, you know, weird
like
trippy
kind of stuff.
Yeah, and that's what he does, and it's right here in the Falls he's doing it. So I'm like, I'm all over it. I'm gonna get a big, like, 24 by 36 piece, I think, from him to hang either over my TV or over my couch. But anyway, that's it. I went to every conceivable business, so you're welcome for that too long description.
Inconceivable.
Well, I didn't go anywhere local, really, per se. I did get to go to my very first concert since COVID, though.
Oh really?
Oh, you went and saw Mistletoe, didn't you?
No. Dan did. Okay. On the same night, I got invited to go see Cybertronic Spree at the House of Blue.
Really?
They are a band that dresses up as the Transformers and plays 80s music.
Nice.
Oh, that's quality.
Okay. Sounds about right.
It was an experience in itself and also interesting to be in a venue right now.
Yeah.
Crowded.
It wasn't. It wasn't. It wasn't as crowded as one would expect. I guess my friends who invited me, they bought these tickets like 2 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, then COVID hit and they just kept getting pushed back.
Yeah, I have tickets to see like three concerts in 2022. And one of the ones that would have been number four was one that I had tickets for literally the Sunday of the weekend that we got shut down originally because of COVID. And I literally just got refunded because they decided to cancel it instead of postpone it. I literally just got refunded for that like a week ago. So, jeez. Yeah, it's honestly, musicians in particular, it's tough because like visual artists, you know, they can put their stuff on Instagram. People have been buying art because they're shut in. They're like, oh, we need a picture up there, you know, mm-hmm. But, like theater, live arts like that, theater and music, man, it's tough. It's just really tough. So if you are willing to get out there and see music, you know, look and see what the requirements are. You know, if you have to wear a mask, maybe whatever it is. Those kinds of arts just really need support right now. It's really hard. Even if they are wearing Transformers.
Did people in the crowd dress up?
There was one who dressed up as basically Macho Man Randy Savage. Combination of that and a Transformer.
Oh my God.
That's called Gwar.
It was pretty impressive.
Wow. Awesome.
But they had their sound... Soundwave, one of the members of the band, who is basically, I know nothing about Transformers, so this just made it even more interesting.
Bart.
Seeing this band.
What do you mean? I don't know anything about Transformers. Well, I don't understand that. What do you mean by that? You've never seen Transformers?
No. Oh, come on. You're like Mr. Pop Culture. You don't know Transformers?
I've never seen it. Oh my gosh.
Come on.
I've heard they're more than meets the eye.
Robots in disguise.
I've heard that too.
But the Soundwave, who was basically a cassette player, it was pretty obvious he has a cassette player based on the front of his costume. But he would come like when he wasn't playing the keyboard, he jumped out into the crowd and would start dancing with people. And it was like, it's, you know, it's not as big of a crowd as they usually get, but he had them going.
I mean, you're wearing a Transformers outfit.
Alex, you might be able, or even Suzanne, you guys might be able, maybe Jen, I don't know. You might be able to help me. Who was the Autobot version of Soundwave? I can't remember his name.
I was trying to remember the opposite of Decepticons, and you just fixed that one.
The only one I know is Bumblebee and Optimus.
It's going to bug me now.
I don't know.
Google it.
I'm looking.
What did we do before Google? Like, we just always
went to the library.
Guessed or tried shrugged. To lie and convince people we knew everything.
Yeah.
That's what I did. We're not even into the show
yet.
We're
not even into the round table.
All right. We got to get so moving.
Let's remedy that with the last two things before we get into that. One, the 12 Films of Christmas started this weekend.
Yay.
So far, by the time this show goes up, there will be three reviews out. At least three.
Damn.
I'm not going to guarantee that I can get this out by Wednesday.
you've already watched everything, right? Now you're just writing?
I've watched everything. I still have two more articles to write.
Okay.
Those will be done by next weekend.
Go, Bart.
I think I've edited six. So
churning it out.
you're getting there. I still have to write about a Disney Channel original movie and a Walton's remake.
Oh, no.
Hey, wait.
Oh, no.
There's a
Walton's remake. Good night, John Boy.
Just that can be the whole review right there. Walton's remake. You click on it. Good night, John Boy.
Good night, John Boy.
Those are the two I still got to write. But so far we've had I've talked about 8-Bit Christmas. I've talked about Love Hard. And on Tuesday, I will talk about Home Sweet Home Alone.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No.
I think that, having read that one, before the general public, I will say, it seems to me like they could have done a better job, especially if they got Buzz on there,
Yeah. Yeah.
Where there's an opportunity there. You got Disney Plus dollars, what the hell?
They put money into this. Yeah. And it was horrible.
Wow. Well.
That's just sad.
The main reason why I kept up with the article is because I was doing so much research on the original movies.
Mm.
I think 8-Bit Christmas sounds really interesting, though. And they got MPH. I mean, who doesn't love MPH?
Yeah. That one is basically sort of a remake of A Christmas Story, but with Neil Patrick Harris narrating it.
I'm for that, though. I'm okay with it. It's like a little bit of pastiche. I'll take it. I mean, Christmas Story is a good movie,
I slept through it after the first 10 minutes. It didn't do it for me at all. Steve liked it.
You're talking about Christmas Story or
8-Bit Christmas?
Oh, okay.
I'm not into video games. It was all about stupid fucking Nintendo or whatever that PlayStation or whatever game it was. I don't know.
Nintendo.
Yeah.
Probably intended for, well, I don't know. You guys, how old were you when Nintendo came out, Jennifer?
I loved Atari. Atari.
Well, Atari is cool.
Intellivision. My cousins had Intellivision.
Yep.
They had a horse race game that I loved.
I think I was solidly in sixth grade when NES came out, something like that. So it was like the perfect hit, Yeah.
But anyway, we want to know what your guys' favorite Christmas movies are.
Yes.
Die Hard.
No, that's not a Christmas movie. We already talked about it. Moving on.
It's either Scrooged or National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
But I will have the link in here. You can find the link on our Facebook page. Either email us at fallsfreepress@gmail.com or follow the link to the Google form and let us know what your favorite movie is. And it could appear in an edition of the 12 Films of Christmas on Christmas Day.
Yay.
You can also use this form to write love notes to Bart. Because he's the only one.
I have 8 responses so far.
Awesome.
Die Hard is Christmas.
Two of them were from us.
Die Hard is Christmas.
Oh. Did you get one from Mike that says
no.
Die Hard? Okay.
Mike has not responded. Yes.
You just opened a can of worms.
Boy.
All right.
And finally, get the shots.
Get the shot.
Wear the booster.
Do it.
Wear your mask.
I got boosted yesterday.
Woohoo!
All right.
Anyway, round table.
So Judge Tim Hoover has been accused of using illegal and coercive tactics in court against criminal case defendants, such as several-day imprisonments to force those without representation to pay their court costs and fines.
No.
This includes 12 times since September 2007.
I hope they throw the book at him. It's so bad. It's just, you're punishing someone for being impoverished.
You mark my words, he'll get away with it.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I don't think he should. I agree with you. They should totally throw the book at Kim Hoover is, I mean, I should be careful what I say. Who knows? I end up in front of him. No, I mean, he's kind of a son of a bitch, right? He's aging out, which means like he cannot, run for another full term when his current term ends. So he does what? He tries to take the seat of his Republican counterpart in the Stowe Municipal Court, loses that. I mean, there's a lot of things that get said about Judge Hoover, and I don't know if they're true, but he did do that. And if you read the quotes in the article about what he was trying to do, he's basically telling people, if you don't cough up the money right now, I'm going to throw you in jail until you do. And that's not consistent with the way it works. I mean, according to the article, because I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a judge, whatever. But I mean, I trust that the Beacon Journal, did their research to find out if what he was doing was acceptable behavior. And apparently,
they pulled all the court records and the scripts, and it's all right there.
Yeah, right. And the state is saying that it's not appropriate, and that he should, be basically they want to see him disbarred. And if he's disbarred as a lawyer, then he can't practice. He can't hold a seat on the bench as a judge.
Yeah,
so
I'd like to see him disbarred. because, you know, it's just bullshit. You don't jail someone because they're impoverished. That's what we've done to our whole, you know, our nation, and now the jails are filled up. You know, it's costing the taxpayers more money to jail those people and take care of them than to have them people pay. So
I was going to say parole and probation, it gets privatized now too. So it's like these third party organizations that'll actually like handle bail and stuff and like all these
take
little,
their cut. They take right. their cut of it.
And so they list offenses in a heartbeat because then they get paid. Right. This privatization of the criminal industry. Right.
Oh, it's so corrupt. It's so evil.
It's sickening.
It is sickening.
I want to let Bart finish the blurb because there's stuff in there that's important about this whole thing.
In these 12 times they've found since 2007, it shows that the Ohio Supreme Court even sent what is called a bench card in 2014 to all municipal courts to remind judges about proper procedures for collecting these payments. And that state law requires judges must advise defendants about their right to counsel, conduct an ability to pay hearing, and find that the person is able to pay but refuses to before charging them with not paying. And even then, they're required to provide a reasonable notice of a hearing.
Yeah, and what he was essentially doing was saying, like, okay, you're going to be fined. To one guy in the article, it says, you're going to be fined $750. And the guy says, well, I don't have the money to pay. And he says, well, then you're going to go to the jail, and you're going to get on the phone, and you're going to cough up the money, basically. And that is not conducting an ability to pay hearing. If the guy said he didn't have the money, then you got to conduct the ability to pay hearing. And if he really does have the money, then you can collect the dough. But if he doesn't, then, you know, I mean, it is complete and total corruption. You cannot do that. It's not a, you know, a king's court where you get to fine people unilaterally for stuff that, you know, that they allegedly, by the way, did because they're just, you know, innocent until proven guilty. It's just, it's really sick. I didn't even see this until you had it on the thing, Bart, and I can't believe it. I mean, I can, but it's pretty sad.
Well, we should say that there is a quote from him on the article that he says, I deny making defendants pay fines cost is a violation of ethical standards.
That's what you say after you've been caught.
Well, that is what he's saying, but, you know, he's not saying that he did not do it. He just says it's not a violation of ethical standards. So, I mean, I don't know.
Tells you how screwed up the standards are.
Yes.
Well, and also, it's so about money. The next thing we're going to talk about in the roundtable is about, you know, them wanting to abolish mayor's courts because they want the money that they get from the mayor's court. And Bart, go ahead with that maybe.
Yeah.
I think it's apropos.
If I may just interrupt one second. If you guys remember when there was an article and we talked about it on the show, how those courts were losing money during COVID and what Hoover said during that time about it's a business, that courts are a business.
Yeah.
And we took exception to that at that point and thought that it was pretty harsh for him to say that he basically looks at it as they should be making a profit. And this is kind of, and now you're having a pattern of his behavior and what he thinks about the courts. So.
Well, and during the last election, he used the clerk of courts in the Stowe Municipal Court as a political pawn. Why? Because she's a.
Why? Why?
Democrat.
Exactly. And Hoover is not.
I won. Thank you, Professor Alex. Woohoo, I get a sticker.
You get a gold star.
Yay!
So yeah, the municipal court is once again complaining about the mayor's courts. They have asked 5 communities within this jurisdiction to shut them down. Both Cog Falls and Monroe Falls have basically told them where they can stick it.
Pound salt.
Municipal courts claiming it's taking money away from them. And when you look at it, Falls Mayor's Court, a minor traffic misdemeanor, $85. If someone has to go through Stowe, it's $311.
Yeah.
Through
that. I mean, mayor's courts are...
It's a business.
It's like role reversal. Mayor's courts are predominantly doing what Judge Hoover is doing, and that's why they're mostly illegal in like 48 other states. But here... It's totally flipped, and our mayor's court is actually saving people money and not jailing people if they can't pay.
Yeah.
And then the actual muni court, you know, the law is kind of like corrupt and bilking people for dollars just to keep running the law business. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's BS, man. It's it was right before we sat down for this that I read that, because I had not been keeping up with the Falls News Press, and it's sick. I mean, I'm so glad that Cuyahoga Falls was so quick to deny, you know, even the thought, it seems, of get rid of the mayor's court. You know, I'd much rather have an administration like we have in Cuyahoga Falls running a court than, you know, the mess they have up there, or at least the way it seems. I would actually love to see what's going to happen, because Hoover, let's say he's, I don't know, that they find that he has in fact acted inappropriately and that they disbar him and he's kicked off the bench as a result. Coates maybe then becomes the administrative judge, I don't know. And then somebody, possibly the governor, I'm not exactly sure who, has to appoint a new judge into Hoover's seat. I would love to see if he's right and that a year later that court is in financial ruin. I'm willing to bet it won't be, and that in fact it will get turned around. I have no reasonable evidence.
Stowe that City Council didn't they just bail them out? Like, was it like a million or something like that? Or was that last year? I thought they bailed them out with some money.
I know it is controlled by Stowe, which is weird, right? I mean, you say that, like, I didn't know, I think it was Suzanne or Jen that said, you know, that these AmeriCorps are illegal in these other states. But I actually think it's weird that, like, Stowe City Council would oversee, you know, a municipal court that serves many, many, many cities, you know. But, it's that way in Summit County. You have Stowe Municipal Court, Akron Municipal Court, and Barberton Municipal Court. And those courts serve multiple communities, not just the cities that they bear the names of. So I don't know if it's a good system or not. It certainly seems in this case like maybe it's not. But then again, I suppose if you had every city having its own little court, you would certainly have some of those courts ending up problematic, you know, to say the least.
And something else that's been a controversy, we talked about a month ago, the plans for a regional dispatch center at the former Weaver location. Well, Cuyahoga Falls, Talmadge, and Fairlawn are all on board, but Stowe has not agreed yet, despite Stowe voters approving it last year by 58%.
I'm not going to say anything about that. I don't think
I thought they had a problem, like, convening a group together to vote. And that's why they want to do it, but somebody's out or something and they couldn't get a quorum. I read something about why Stowe is not, they weren't going to be able to vote in time. They had to examine something. I don't know, but that they weren't saying no. It was strange.
I think that might have been not Stowe. Ordinance B-116, temporary share councilperson Rachel Loza explained that Councilman Balthus was out with COVID and that they would be holding this legislation until the 20th for discussion.
Oh, it was the Falls. Oh, okay, so that's fall. Right. Right, not
But we are in. We're just, they're holding the ordinance off until Balthus gets back and you talk about it.
Yeah, that's right.
I think we talked about it about a month ago, that it seemed to be more positive than negative going into this. I mean, especially getting onto the ground level and being one of the founding cities, part of it, I think there was some benefit of it, of being able to keep the people that are working right now in the dispatch centers, they would be the first to be interviewed and hired into it. So hopefully they won't lose any jobs. And I don't know.
Yeah. And that, according to the article, the Beacon Journal article, it said, you know, there would be no, you know, job loss with any of this. So it's, you know, and that was one of the worries that Stowe had.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, Stowe.
Whose chair is that?
It's mine. It's a crummy drum throne. Trying to sit still so it doesn't move.
I just keep hearing it.
It's one of the things I'm asking for Christmas is a new drum throne. I'm sitting in, you guys haven't seen my place yet, but I have like a keyboard in front of me and then like my computer is mounted above it. And I sit on the same drum throne that I use to like play piano, but it's old and crummy.
Next, Alan Tenna has officially been sentenced to 5 years in prison after admitting his planning to set off an explosive at Cuyahoga Falls High School and threatening a Kansas elementary school early last year. Upon release, he's going to be placed on a mandatory 3-year supervised release.
Well, good.
That's sad, that whole situation.
Get them off the streets.
Yes. And finally, a public virtual meeting will be held this Wednesday evening from 6 to 7:30 to discuss the draft of the Merriman Valley-Schumacher area master plan. FAR associates will present recommendations for the plan, including proposed land use and changes to the zoning code, environmental considerations, and example redevelopment scenarios. So I will post the link in the show notes for this.
You don't want to read out that link there?
It's an event, right? With a lot of different characters.
We're a lot of different characters.
Three times to get into the outline.
I don't know too many people pushing that topic or, you know, discussing it. I haven't seen it much online. Save the Valley. I see signs, but...
The only thing I've heard is negative about it is, oh, it's Akron's plan and we're just kind of getting thrown into it. But I don't know how much of that's true or not or whatever, but I don't think it's like that.
I think it's fairly clear what the people want, you know. They don't want a bunch of storage spaces and, you know, condos and shit.
And they want,
you know, they want
lots of green
to maintain
space
the character
stuff,
of the valley
yes.
as something that's close to this park and, you know, make it more accessible for people who want to take advantage of the park, either as tourists or campers mm-hmm. or whatever. I mean, it doesn't seem like it will be that difficult for, you know, this consultant agency to check all the boxes. And I can't imagine that, you know, Democratic majority city councils in Akron and Cuyahoga Falls are going to, you know, want to make it a big, you know, businessy bullshit thing. So,
yeah, I could see it off of, you know, Akron Peninsula Road and, you know, all that crap down there and maybe a little bit off like Portage Path or, you know, even coming up towards the hill. But for the most part, it's probably going to be parks and green space.
Yeah, and these consultancies, like, they can be really productive. Like, we saw what happened with the Cuyahoga Falls parks. I mean, we had a consultant in our city for all that, and, you know, the changes that we're seeing to the parks and that we're going to continue to see are the result of that. And usually they have a lot of different ways of getting community input, so I'm sure that that's also going on. And, you know, I certainly have faith that they're going to approach it the right way. But it sounds like you can, as a member of the public, go check it out, so. Maybe that's what y'all should do.
Suzanne, did you have any good news?
I do. You sound sad when you say it.
Well, no, I just wasn't sure.
He's out there.
Do you have any good news? I'm scared of your good news. Cuyahoga Falls City School District partnered with the Akron Children's Hospital to provide a voluntary vaccine clinic for students aged 5 to 17 on December 2nd from 3 to 7 at DeWitt Elementary School. And they're going to have a second one for to administer the second dose on January 4th from 3 to 7 p.m. So good news, kids are now able to get their vaccine and get one step closer to normal. You were there?
I was there. My two little six-year-olds. Yep, they got their shots.
Did they cry?
They were night and day. Lainey showed up, man. She was ready, taking her shirt off, you know, ready for that sucker. Just like, I'm going to be brave. Josh, meanwhile, we had to hold her down.
She's like, no.
She was screaming, and I'm just like, great. All these other kids are going to be really excited about getting
their
shot.
Ooh, oh, yeah.
Oh, I just want to gas her with the little nitrous, man. Knock out a little.
No, I mean, they did, you know, it's professionals from Akron Children, so they did a really
good job. Yeah.
So there was one guy not wearing a mask there, and he was with a kid that was wearing a mask, and there's a mask mandate in the building. So I was a little bit confused about that.
I'm pretty sure he was confused, too.
Yeah. but, I mean, you know, not a ton of school staff there just because, it, again, was being administered after hours by Akron Children's Hospital. And the staff that was there was doing a bang-up job, as were the hospital staff.
See a lot of kids?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think you guys might have even reported that it was like 200 people or something. Or maybe somewhere I heard it was like 200 kids were signed up. And, you know, it was just like, because I had actually got my first shot at the high school gym. And, you know, you had to get your shot and then go into a little waiting area for like 15 minutes. So it was the waiting area was the DeWitt gym. So, like, all these little kids got their shots and they went in there and, like, ran around like crazy people. So
that's a good way to monitor anaphylaxis. Holy shit. Johnny just fell down on the basketball court.
Oh, get him off the dodgeball court.
Yeah. A lot of adults on bleachers and kids run around the gym floor. But yeah, it was. It's great news. It is good news.
Is it time? Bart's Arts.
That was a good attempt, Jen. That was good.
Sitting there, and I'm sure he's very proud of you.
He said no. He's out. First off, just a reminder to get your votes in for the parking meters on parade. Voting ends this Friday.
Get them in.
Some good ones down there. I still haven't walked like the sidewalk to see them, but there's a couple you can see from the road as you drive by. They're looking pretty good. I think it was Harp and Thistle. They have the same parking meter they had last year, and this year they did an Elf on the Shelf. Pretty good looking. So.
And also this Friday, the Junks building is having their Christmas party starting at 4 p.m., and this includes, at 6 p.m., a holiday puppet show.
Oh.
Puppet show.
Puppet show.
No strings attached.
Oh, jeez.
Jinx has been kind of crushing it lately. They've been doing a lot of good live. Mm-hmm. They had, like, the Nutcracker.
They did.
I'm trying to picture where they even did the Nutcracker.
It was upstairs.
Oh, okay.
That's right, yeah.
And then at 6 p.m., they will have a surprise music lineup from Taylor Carano and friends. And all donations that are taken in that night will be given to Cuyahoga Falls Good Neighbors.
Oh, awesome. Cool. Oh.
That's super awesome.
And then the following day, on Saturday, local and international violinist Justin Curry was going to be performing at 5 o'clock. And so he'll be keeping up the holiday festivities.
That's it? That's also a Jenks?
Keep it going.
That's also a Jenks.
Oh, man. Kudos to Michael Owen and his wife, whose name I unfortunately do not know. What is it, Jody?
Jody,
for making things happen down there. What an amazing little spot that is. And, you know, their leadership in the arts community is just, man, it's just been fantastic.
So that's all the arts I've got for tonight.
Oh, boo.
We want to thank our listeners for joining us this week. I want to thank everybody here for still being awake at this moment.
Well, for the most part.
What day is it? What's going on? Why am I here?
That I don't know.
Just another
and we
Monday.
Want to thank Amy and Katie for speaking with us also, so stick around for that interview right after this. And remember, we do want to hear your ideas for potential interviewees, thoughts about the show, ideas for articles. Shout them out to us at follow3press@gmail.com.
Oh, you just took my job.
Oh, sorry.
What should we get? You could also tell us what you think we should get Mike for Christmas.
Oh, yeah, please do, because I don't know what to get him.
I have his coal. It's on my kitchen table. Ready to go.
JoJo dropped it.
Might be flaming and in a bag on his front doorstep.
For now, we're just going to say goodbye and ignore that what just happened. And hope you don't.
Listen to Bart's interview. It's killer.
Yep. Oh, jeez.
Bye.
He murdered
it. Cut him off.
Later.
This week, we are here with two of the three hosts of a new true crime podcast in Cuyahoga Falls. We have Katie Bear and Amy Walker, hosts of the AKA Murder podcast.
Hi, everybody.
Hi. You might remember Katie Bear being a guest on the show sometime back. I don't remember the episode. And no. The other host of the show, Amy Phillips, has been on the show multiple times and written some articles for us. Unfortunately, Phelps can't be with us tonight.
Because she's busy and she's always doing stuff and she's always running around and counting birds and frogs and volunteering at my museum. Phillips is everywhere, except for here right now.
Yes, she's a beautiful little butterfly and we miss her.
It's absolutely true.
How did you guys get into podcasting?
Well, I came to the podcasting game kind of late. I started listening to podcasts while I was working actually with you guys at the library. And Bart, I think that you were listening to Serial at the time. And I started listening to the Serial podcast about the, I think, was it season 2 that took place in the downtown Cleveland courthouse?
That was season 3.
Season 3. Boy,
season 2 was the guy who supposedly left who, like, escaped the military or something.
Oh, that was the Bo Bergdahl.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Well, anyway, I started listening to season 3 of Serial first. You know, I'm a Cleveland girl, and so it was really interesting listening to, you know, the comings and goings of the courthouse over the course of a year. Fascinating. But yeah, I started listening to Serial. I listened to My Favorite Murder, Jensen and Holes.
Yeah, I also, I'm like, you guys both got me into My Favorite Murder, which is the first podcast I've ever listened to and absolutely my favorite. And now I have branched out. I listen to everything. True crime, comedy, political. It's all good. And I think for me, especially after like listening to My Favorite Murder, where two really good friends talking about something that fascinates them. I don't know. Like, I was like, I think I could do this. And like, and then with Amy and Katie, it was just like, I can't help but think that people are just going to love listening to us.
I am hilarious. It's pretty disturbing.
It is. Yeah.
Disturbing is right.
It's the right choice of words.
So your show is called AKA Murder. Can you explain the name?
Yes. It was so funny when we like decided to do this. It was kind of just
off the cuff, I think, maybe.
I'm sorry. Well, Katie had watched this documentary, The Killing Season, and she loved it and asked Phillips and I to watch it too. And we watched it and loved it. And we were just like enamored by the fact that these women, people go missing and people, please don't look, you know? And Katie's like, I really want to like do something. And I'm like, we should start a podcast because I've been wanting to do it forever. And she's like, yes, let's do it. And Phillips was like, what are we going to call ourselves? AKA Murder. And I'm like, no shit. That's what's been going through my head.
And that's of course, because there's Amy Walker, Katie Bear, and Amy Phillips, AKA. Ta-da.
What is the show about then? You're talking about the documentary Killing Season. What is AKA Murder about?
Well, you know, we're still trying to figure that out, I think. We've got 3 episodes out and recorded, and they're all just little short, quickie episodes about the Gabby Petito case. We have another episode recorded. It's just not put out yet. And we've been talking about, I think our original idea was to watch documentaries and, like, chat about them, because that's what we just do naturally.
Yeah, it's kind of what we were doing anyway, but we decided to kind of organize our thoughts a little bit. And I think that something that all 3 of us can agree on is that there are glaring social justice issues that need to be spotlit, I guess, you know, so I'd like to talk about, you know, people who are not getting the attention. We did talk about Gabby Petito, but it was a case of, what do they call that? Missing white girl syndrome, I think is what they call it. And that's just about, you know, how the media kind of sees, you know, typically a white girl, an attractive white girl, and they will go with that case and pay more attention to that case, where there are people of color or, you know, poor people that maybe aren't as fancy to look at, that are just their murders, their disappearances are just ignored. And there's a lot of people that are in jail that shouldn't be there. There's a lot of problems. And, you know, I think that talking about documentaries and giving our observations on that might help to bring some attention to cases that people may not be hearing about.
And just give people thoughts that they might not think about either.
Right.
And with the Gabby Petito case, yeah, like everybody was talking about that. For us, though, it was something that was like in the national spotlight, and we were supposed to be like editing our first podcast, and we just started talking about this Gabby Petito, and Katie's like, we need to record this. And so we did. And it kind of pushed us to get some content out, and and learn how to do everything, learn how to talk into a microphone and not sound like an asshole.
Look, we can still do that.
We do, and we do it well.
It will just be, you know, a little more practice.
Oh, can I read? Phillips left a statement. Let me read that for Amy. She says, I got into the podcast because of Walker and her grand schemes. Oh, well. Curiosity and a strong sense of justice draws me to true crime. I worked in law offices for around 20 years, and while I didn't see a lot of criminal law, I did see processes. What it was to find case law to support an argument and try to win a case. Even when there's no intention to get a case wrong, there's often pressure on a lot of people. Law enforcement, attorneys, expert witnesses, and judges, etc. There are so many places a case can go wrong and stay wrong. Making a Murderer was one of the first serial docuseries that really grabbed my attention in that area of crime. It was so in-depth and pointed out so many injustices. For me, it wasn't so much about Stephen Avery being guilty or not guilty. It was about how the system failed multiple times and human error fallibility. That once we believe something, we will go out of our way to make sure those beliefs are upheld and won't entertain new facts that may upend those beliefs. Objectivity and social justice are my goals with the podcast. Sorry I couldn't be with you all tonight. Love my co-hosts. We love you too.
We can tell that Amy Phillips is the writer in the group, right?
Yeah.
Now, see, that with Making a Murderer, I gave up early on season 2 because I realized that, oh, yeah, nothing's actually going to happen. He's still going to stay in jail. And this is just basically campaigning on getting money off of, you know, the popularity of the series.
Yeah.
Whereas instead of actually doing something about it.
Right. Yeah, that's true. You know, I think that those things on Netflix became so popular that they just, you know, started producing more and more of them. And, you know, the earlier things are going to have potentially a little bit more integrity where, you know, kind of follow-ups on that. Like, what is there to follow up on? There's not really any new information on the case. It's kind of just a way for them to make money.
Yeah.
Netflix. I love you, Netflix.
So you started the three episodes so far about the Gabby Petito case. Will there be more current event discussions in addition to talking about documentaries and docuseries?
You know, there's going to be another horrible murder case out there, and I definitely think that we would be wanting to share our opinions on it. I mean, I think that anybody who is into podcasting kind of can talk and likes to hear their own voices a little bit. I definitely run my mouth. Shit, I lost my train of thought. Never mind. I lost my train of thought.
Wait, what was the question again?
Will there be more current event discussions in addition to talking about documentaries?
Absolutely. There will definitely be more content because there's definitely going to be another horrible murder. And we definitely want to bring that to you guys, our super important opinions.
I think we want to be timely with things. So I think we definitely will do some more current event episodes. And I think even when we do our documentary episodes, we'll have some news or updates or something that's going on currently.
What do your individual backgrounds bring to these investigations into these topics?
Well, I will say for Phillips, the fact that, you know, she has some experiences in working with, you know, lawyers and law offices and that, for me, I'm just like kind of a pop culture freak. I'm into everything, anything and everything. I think working at the library, you see everything that comes in and out, and it really just a little bit of everything sparks my interest.
I have been interested in true crime since I was pretty young. My stepdad followed the Cleveland Torso murders. And so, you know, there were always kind of like books around about it. And, you know, I would pick it up and look at the Grody pictures. And, you know, that kind of set me off. And I was fascinated by true crime from that time on. And, you know, anybody who grew up in the 80s and 90s and said that Unsolved Mysteries didn't influence them in some ways is lying. If you can hear the beginning of that TV show and not get like chills up your spine. You're a better person than I am. So I've just always been curious about true crime, and that's kind of a benefit, I think, to like what I bring to the table is having some knowledge about really old cases, because I am very old.
She is very, very old.
But like, I have this book, it's still upstairs in my kind of reading room right now, and it's called A Gallery of Rogues, and it's from the 90s. And this thing is so dog-eared, and there's like highlighter throughout the whole thing, and pages bent over and stuff like that on, you know, like, oh, this story was really interesting, and, you know, that kind of thing. That book is still upstairs, and some of the books that I remember being around my house were The Maniac in the Bushes.
Oh, yeah.
Which was all female crime. Anyway, yeah, those were the kind of books that were sitting around when I was a kid, and so I was always leaping through that kind of thing, that kind of content.
For me, I'll say, like, the Amy Mahalovic case back in the day, like, I don't know that started my true crime, but that's always the case that, like, I think back on, because I was so little when that happened, and my name was Amy, too, and it really freaked me out. So, yeah, that case, I always go back to that. Love to know what happened there.
So aside from some of those, what are some of your favorite documentaries and favorite topics to discuss?
I want to do it first. This is what our podcast sounds like. It's just us arguing with each other. No, me first. Okay, so I love documentaries. And when I worked with you guys, I loved getting to flip through the catalog. I loved seeing what new documentaries were coming out. I will watch documentaries on literally any topic. I just watched a really fascinating thing on Prime called Blitzed, Nazis on Drugs. And it was about how pretty much everyone during World War II was just on meth. The Nazi doctors kind of invented meth and started like giving it to their soldiers. And then, you know, the English and the Americans and everyone found some of these pills in the plane crashes and stuff and started taking them. And they're like, hey, these are pretty fucking good. And, so then American troops started getting, and British troops, and everybody else that was involved in the war, the Japanese, everyone was on meth. It was wild. One of my other favorites is Hail Satan, which is on Hulu, and that is about the Satanic Church and is excellent. See it today.
I recall that one because just after I saw it, I recall the Satanic Church suing Netflix over the use of their shrine in Sabrina.
Well, you know what? I hope that they won that.
Apparently, the artistic shrine that was created for the show was different enough to where it
really
was not. Yeah.
You know, I'm not familiar with it. I'm going to have to take a look at it.
And they weren't worshiping the same thing that the Satanic Church worships.
It's a Baphomet.
Yeah.
With huge, beautiful tips. It's a wonderful statue if you haven't seen it. I recommend it. You know, another, some true crime documentaries that are really good. There's one called Unseen, and that one's about Anthony Sowell up in Cleveland, who would kill, drug addicts and sex workers and stuff. And I think they found like 25 bodies in his house or something. Just an astounding number of people, humans that just fell off the face of the earth and no one was looking for them. And I watched one called Tales of the Grim Sleeper, which is about another serial killer. He is in Southern California, very similar to the Anthony Sowell case, in that he would attack drug users and sex workers and people who were kind of under the radar. I don't remember how many people that guy killed. His name is Lonnie David Franklin Jr., but, I mean, it was in the 20s. But you could watch Tales of the Grim Sleeper and Unseen. I recommend both of those if you want to be horrified and depressed.
Right. Like Katie, we'll watch a documentary on anything. I prefer to watch documentaries. I'm even having like a hard time watching movies that are based on a true story because I know they take liberties and I want to know what actually happened. So all across the spectrum, whatever it is, I want to know about it. But I have a list and some of my favorite true crime documentaries. There is like Making a Murder and The Staircase, which are two really long docuseries. They're both on Netflix, but I think the longer ones get a little bit more in depth. And also, just a heads up, if you're going to watch The Staircase, it's on Netflix, but then you have to go to Hulu and also watch the three-part docuseries there because it tells you about the owl theory. I'm not going to get into the owl theory right now, but you need to know about it. There's some dangerous fuckers, those owls.
Are we allowed to use adult language, Bart?
By all means.
Owls are motherfuckers. Just run, you guys. The raptors have big claws.
Every time I say a bad word, like the rest of your Fozzcasters. I love you guys.
Love you guys. You know, and that is something that our podcast may not be for everyone, because we can be a little crass.
Explicit
language. We use swear words on occasion.
Sometimes they're strong ones. Then you've got I'll Be Gone in the Dark on HBO Max. Oh, my God. So good. Okay.
Good. Very, very good. Michelle McNamara was an amazing lady.
Oh, my God. And her book, I really, like, if you watch I'll Be Gone in the Dark and you are also a reader, I suggest watching the documentary and reading the book. One of my favorite documentarians so far, and I've only seen two of his things, not a lot, but it's Joshua Zeman. And he did the Killing Season, which Katie mentioned earlier, and that's about the Long Island serial killer.
I didn't. You mentioned it earlier, but I found it initially.
Oh, well, Kate, yeah, I did, because you mentioned it to begin with.
Teamwork! And
he also did The Sons of Sam on Netflix, which is so interesting. If you haven't watched it, you should watch it.
That show is bananas. It is. Yeah.
Basically saying that there was more than just David Berkowitz, and it's possible, I think. I don't think it's impossible. Then I also like documentaries that are made by family members, like they're filmmakers. Strong Island by Yance Ford is on Netflix. That was really, really good. And Murder on Middle Beach by Madison Hamburg is a docu-series on HBO Max. And that was, like, nobody could have made this movie except for this person. And the story just, it wouldn't have been the same had it been made by anybody else. But Madison, it's about the murder of his mother. And it's unsolved, and he tries to investigate. It's just, I can't say enough good things about it. And also, I really liked Rest in Power, the Trayvon Martin story. It was such a good watch. And that's on Paramount Plus. So those are just a few, because we don't have time to list them all.
Definitely check out Hail Satan, though.
Like you said, you haven't had a longer episode discussing documentaries yet. Which films are you going to be discussing in the future?
Well, Katie, you talk about the one we recorded already, because that was your pick.
We recorded the, it's about Martha P. Johnson.
Death and Life.
The Death and Life, thank you. It's called The Death and Life of Marsha P. Johnson, and that was the first episode that we covered. If you don't know about Marsha, she was a trans woman in New York in the 70s and 80s, and she was just an icon. She was murdered, and they found her floating in the Hudson River. And the story and the mystery behind that, and the people that Marsha was hanging out with and who she was friends with at the time, you know, they were really interesting people. Sylvia, what was her last name?
Rivera.
Yes. Sylvia Rivera is an inspiration. You know, I really, you should definitely check out the life and death of Marsha P. Johnson. And we did our episode on that one, and that we will be releasing soon. Amy Walker did her editing magic on it, and she's an editing wizard, as it turns out. So
you would have expected.
So I haven't even heard the completed episode yet, but I'm stoked about it. The next one we're covering is called 3.5 Minutes and 10 Bullets, and I will pass this over to Amy Walker.
This was my pick, and this one is a little bit different because, you know, all the players right from the beginning, it's not, you know, who killed who. And it's about four young black teenagers in a car. They also called it, what was it? They called it the Loud Music Case.
Yes, the Loud Music Case.
Yeah. And there's four young black teenage boys in a car at a gas station, and they're listening to loud music, and a white couple pulls up, and the woman goes inside, and there's some words exchanged between the boys and the guy, and the white man kills one of the black teenage boys, and it's the documentary is about his trial, and it's really, really good.
Yeah, no spoilers, but it is fascinating.
It is, and it's. I think what's fascinating to me about it is he's found guilty, and this also happened like right after the Trayvon Martin case in Florida, stand your ground law, and it's just really mind-boggling how you can have really very similar kind of circumstances. Trayvon was really bad, though. But anyway. And you have two different juries, and how one jury is like, yeah, this person was standing the ground, and this jury is like, no, this did not need to happen. It's just the luck of the freaking draw sometimes.
Stand your ground laws are not great. I mean, you know, and I just think that stand your ground laws, when you don't have the, when you're not, you don't have to, fuck, what is it called? The duty to retreat. When you don't have a duty to retreat, you can pretty much just say, I was scared, and just shoot anyone. That's just my opinion. And I know that there's a lot of people that are going to disagree with that, but and that's okay.
Look also what happens with stand your ground law. Breonna Taylor was a perfect example of that.
That's a really good example.
The reason it shouldn't be legal is because those officers could have got hurt.
I think at least one cop was shot, right?
The boyfriend fired a shot. He missed, but they didn't know what the hell was going on.
Right.
They would have been standing their ground. Somehow I don't think it would have worked out for them, though, had they used that defense. And also, everyone should know that Ohio is now a stand your ground law, so.
Yay.
Lucky us.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ohio.
Thank you.
You know, something that really kind of struck me about, you know, just kind of the world that we're living in right now is that there is a company that is making bulletproof backpacks. That's where the fuck we are as a country, is that we have to give our children military tactical fucking equipment to go to school.
It's insane. It's
fucking ridiculous. I'm just so grateful that I don't have any children that are in school at this time, because it's a scary, scary time, you guys.
It is. And I have a daughter who's just now starting out in kindergarten, and a niece who's in third grade. I remember my niece coming home in kindergarten and telling me how they had a lockdown drill. And it just broke my heart.
Well, yeah, and we just talked about on the Fallscast last week how Woodward schools have decided they're just going to go mask optional at the beginning of the year. And it's like, so we don't care about this deadly virus, but we care enough to make sure we have drills in case somebody comes in and shoots up the place.
It's just ridiculous. It's just, it makes me so fucking angry. Why shouldn't people be wearing masks during a global fucking pandemic? I mean, I have a dear friend who is a nurse, and she is of the opinion that, you know what? I got my shots. I got my booster. I did what I was supposed to do. I'm not going to wear a fucking mask anymore. And so she doesn't fucking wear a mask. And it makes me worried for her. I wear a mask in the grocery store. I haven't stopped wearing a mask. You know, there was some time in the summer when everyone's windows were open and stuff like that, that I felt comfortable enough to be maskless. But we just can't do it anymore. You know, shit is getting wild again. The morgues are filling up. Like, wear a fucking mask. It's not that hard.
Yeah, my mom went to the doctor the other day, and he said there were 9 patients at Western Reserve on ventilators in the ICU, and they've only got, like, 12 ICU rooms, 12 minutes. So, like,
it's kind of sad. Like, how many fucking rooms do they, how many ventilators do they even have at that hospital? I mean, it's a tiny, tiny little hospital. That astounds me that they even have that many.
So, shout out to all the COVID documentaries out there. You should watch those two people. There's a really good one on HBO Max. I can't remember when it's called. In the Same Breath. And it started in China with the start of the outbreak and everything. And you should watch it. You should just watch it.
I'm going to watch that one. I'm going to write it down.
So with all the number of true crime documentaries and shows and books, why do you think it's so popular now, or even so, as such a popular thing in the last 20, 25 years?
I'm going to go back to Unsolved Mysteries. I mean, Unsolved Mysteries really kind of brought it, these like weird stories into everyone's living room, you know, and now all of the people that grew up being freaked out by that show are adults who still want to get that kind of spooky button, that spooky nerve hit a little bit. And I think that in today's day and age, with how fucked up everything is with COVID and our political system and how fucking crazy everything is now, I think that a little bit of escapism is happening. You know, people would rather read about someone else's problems than their own, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. Just that there is absolutely truth to the statement. What is it that truth is stranger than fiction? And it is. Some of these cases that you hear about, nobody could have possibly thought that up.
Right. If you were to write some of these things down and try to like pass it off as, you know, something that you made up, people would be like, that too fucking wild. No way. No way. The pizza bomber story. You know what I'm talking about?
Evil genius.
Evil genius.
Wait, what?
There. Okay. Do you remember several years ago where there was the guy that like had he had an explosive device strapped to his neck? Did you ever hear about that one, Bart?
I might have, but it doesn't ring a bell.
It is fucking bananas. You gotta watch Evil Genius. I think that one's on Netflix.
Yeah. Now that you say the name of that.
Yeah.
Because there was like really two stories in one.
Yes. Yeah, that whole story is completely bananas. But and it ends with a guy getting his head blown off by an explosive device. It's just completely wild. If you tried to write all of this shit down and make it up, no one would believe that it would be worth reading, because it just sounds so crazy.
The people that were behind this, man, you can't discredit anybody, because you would not, in your wildest dreams, imagine people coming up with this. They're evil geniuses. It's not what they are.
The Falls Cast, definitely, we learned a lot of things when we first started the podcast. As you guys have started and are getting shows out, what advice would you give somebody wanting to start their own podcast?
Do it. Don't overthink it. But don't, like, not think about it either.
Don't underthink it. Don't overthink it. Just think it.
Part of our struggle with getting content out is that we are overthinking things. And yeah, it could be just that we need to put out more current event issues. And But like, I think also don't try to come up with a format and stick with it right away. We have been like really changing things up. And you know,
be willing to be flexible. Like Amy was saying, like just because you have it written down on a piece of paper or something in a certain way doesn't mean that it's, you know, the only way that you can do it. Be flexible and just fucking record something. I mean, seriously, you know, spend some time thinking about what you want to get out there, but then just record it. I have depression and anxiety issues. I know that the other girls do as well, to different levels. And, you know, sometimes you just have to push yourself even when you don't want to do it. But, you know, record something. Sometimes it helps me to fool myself a little bit and say, okay, well, I'm just going to get it started. I'm just going to get it started. And then sometimes when I get whatever project it is started that I want to get started, I realize that now I'm in a flow and I can continue to move forward on it. So my advice would be, you know, keep moving forward, but be flexible about what you have.
Yeah. And like Katie said, record, because really one night we were having a discussion and she's like, we should be recording this. And she hit record before like we even knew it. And like, if she had not done that, we still wouldn't have anything out right now.
We just gotta, you just gotta do it. Just get started on it. Throw some effort at it.
AKA murder. Where can listeners find the show?
You can find us on Facebook at AKA Murder Podcast.
And you can also find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Are you on Apple Podcasts?
According to Anchor, we are. 18% of our listeners have listened to it through there.
18%? That percentage is almost old enough to drink.
So 81% of our listeners are from the United States. 13% are from Germany. 2 from Tanzania. 2 from Singapore. And 1% from the Czech Republic.
We are internationally known, and we're known to rock a microphone.
Did you find it on your Apple Podcast?
No.
Well, fuck. We're available on Spotify. Find AKA Murder on Spotify.
And give us a listen.
A little listen to you.
And I'd like to say hello to everyone in Tanzania who may be catching this interview. Shout out to Tanzania.
And to Singapore.
Oh, we Singapore. Thank you, Singapore.
Okay.
We love you.
Okay, you are on Apple. For anyone looking on Apple and on Spotify, it is A period K period A.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, Apple does not care for periods.
Well, thank you, Bart, for doing this interview and doing our research for us. And, you know.
Also, can I say that we would like to, in the future, invite some of the Fallscasters to do an AKA murder episode with us.
I think that would be a super fantastic idea.
Absolutely.
So please extend the invitation. We can find a nice local murder to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be fun.
I agree. I think that sounds like a lot of fun. I'd also like to offer my services if you need to talk about any cryptozoology. I'd be happy to offer my wide amount of knowledge about, you know, stuff that's probably fake.
I don't know anything about animals and crypts, so don't ask me about that stuff.
I'm going to take you to the Mothman Museum. We're going to go touch his shiny metal butt. It'll be fantastic. We can go look at some weird murals down there. Children, it is a weird place down there.
Yeah, I had planned on taking a day and going down there back in the summer, and then it never happened, and now it's winter, and that's
you know
never
what?
Gonna happen.
You should make the trip if you can find some like dry roads, you know, down to West Virginia. Point Pleasant, West Virginia is where we're talking about, and you know, the Mothman is a cryptid that supposedly was flying around in that area. Some people think that he is like a harbinger, like he's bringing all of these like bad things that happen. I like to think that he is warning us about all of this bad shit that happens, and that he's a benevolent alien. Why not? Or maybe he's a sandhill crane. Who knows?
He's a
a sandhill crane. That's another theory. So, yeah.
I was about to show you that there is a documentary about the Mothman, which you guys can discuss.
Oh, great. What's it called?
It is called The Mothman Legacy.
Oh, I think that's on Hulu.
This would be a different one. It's made by a group from Wadsworth.
Oh, no kidding. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's Mothman Legacy. It just came out October of last year.
It basically looks at,
you know, whether at both, you know, eyewitness testimonies as well as, you know, where this legend could have come from.
Right, right. Awesome. That sounds awesome. I'll check it out.
So, Amy and Katie, thank you for joining us on this week's show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for tolerating our shenanigans, Bart. I appreciate you.
And I hope everybody checks out Amy, Katie, and Amy on AKA Murder on Spotify and, as we have discovered, Apple Podcasts, as well as on Facebook. So thank you guys. And everyone will listen to you guys later, I'm sure.
Thank you, Bart. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thank you.
Fallscast is a production of the Falls Free Press in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. please check out the Falls Free Press at fallsfreepress.com or on social media at facebook.com/fallsfreepress. We thank you for listening to this episode, which was recorded and edited by Bart Sullivan. Please subscribe to our podcast and tell your Call to Falls friends and family so they can listen as well. Czechoslovakia even a country anymore?
I don't think it is.
I didn't think so either.
Maybe someone should tell Spotify.
They're not up with the times, yo.
I guess not. Oh, shit. Don't do that. You're a fucking nerd.